But the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So what is he talking about when he says dull of hearing? He means specifically hearing the voice of God. And so when we come to this aspect, I want us to understand how important that is. If we were to go back to, there's a story that I think of, especially for the young people in that aspect. There was a young man who heard the voice of God, but he didn't know what it was. God had never, all right, yeah, the people are, we're tracking here. Little Samuel. You say, oh yeah, I get tired of that. I get tired of hearing the voice of God. That's a startling aspect, that we could get to a place where we are dull of hearing what God is saying to us. And throughout this, when we come to it, we find that we can ask this question. On one side, there's a contrast. Hearing the voice of God, and the contrast here is in faith, or hardening your heart, refusing to hear. So let's look through this. Again, quote in verse 7, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Basically what it was, when they went to Kadesh Barnea and they had the choice of going into the promised land, and those, the children of Israel said, no, we will not listen. We will not go. We will not believe. That's why he begins to go in. He says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. They could not enter into the promised land. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. So you can see the repetition. You can see that he begins with that quotation. He comes around with that quotation. He'll quote it again in chapter 4. And so there's a big emphasis on saying, you will hear the voice of God, and by this Old Testament story, you hear that voice and you believe God in what he says. Or the opposite is to harden your heart and to say an evil heart of unbelief. That you hear God's voice and you do not respond to it to believe what God says. And we depart from the living God. So the question here is, we've seen that God, Jesus Christ, is speaking to us today. He is the voice of God. He is, and there's an aspect I want to ask the question, how often, according to these verses, should we hear God's voice? Always. Oh, today. Today you should hear his voice. And when you wake up tomorrow, the verse says, today. And when you wake up the next day, the verse says, today. God wants to speak to our hearts on a daily basis. I want to ask this question. Is hearing God's voice the same as reading your Bible? Getting some no's. Getting more no's. Some yes. It can be. You are not going to be hearing God's voice apart from the Bible. But not everybody who reads the Bible hears God's voice. How many times? And this is what we do in our family Bible time. I ask them, we go through and we read the scripture together, and then we ask, what did God speak to you about? It's not about necessarily preaching a sermon. It's an aspect of, what is God's voice You know, sometimes I'm supposed to come. And that's a very good exercise because it forces you. And I'll read the whole chapter and I'll get done and say, okay, what am I going to say? I didn't hear God's voice when I read through those words. I wasn't listening for Him. And I go back and sometimes the Lord did. He did make me stop and think about something, or something jumped out, or something was convicting, or so, you know, and I need to go back and meditate and say, God, what are you trying to communicate to me? What are you telling me? And so what I'm trying to help us to see is, yes, it's through the reading of the Word of God that Jesus Christ speaks to us, but you've got to listen to His words through this book. You've got to be sensitive. The Word of God is preached. And so it's not just in the reading of the Word, but it's in the preaching of the Word that we are to hear God's voice. But Christ's voice is there if we'll listen. Today, He's speaking. So we don't go to church and say, well, I wonder if God's going to speak to me today. No, today He's going to speak. The question is, am I ready? Am I receptive to this Word? And it's interesting to me that he says one of the things that are needed here in verse 13, he says, exhort one another, how often? Daily. So while it is called today, that's very fascinating because he's playing off of the words of hearing the voice of God. So you need to take the voice of God that you're hearing and you need to go around and exhort one another. That means encourage, that means to lift up, that means to supplement, that means to teach. That's just kind of a broad word that means you share with what God's doing in your life. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, every single day, sin's creeping up. It's in the heart, and it's starting to callous. And it's starting to codify, and it's getting dull. Meaning, it becomes less tender. The Old Testament scriptures would describe this as they have a heart of stone. He said, I'm going to take their heart of stone out of them, and I'm going to give them a heart of flesh. That means that when you talk to someone, they respond. Heart of stone means you're talking to someone, I might as well be talking to the wall. A statue. They're not going to do anything with what's being told to them. He says, this is the problem. We are being deceived by sin on a daily basis, and if we are not exhorting and being exhorted by our Christian brethren on a daily basis, we are going on the road towards hardening our heart. So all of this is pointing towards how serious the danger is that we have. And so when we come back to chapter 5, and now we've kind of set everything up, it says, seeing ye are dull of hearing. This has the word dull can have the idea of slothful, sluggish. Sluggish in the ears, you might say. And so I want you to just give me some, we know what it's like to become dull of hearing. You're going listening along, and even in the best, most interesting thing, all of a sudden you find yourself starry-eyed, and you're thinking about tomorrow, and you know, did I turn the iron off? You know, you got all kinds of different thoughts pop in your mind. You're all of a sudden you realize in the past you go, rah! Or something like this, and all of a sudden they jump back up. And, you know, so what are ways? Let me ask the question how I have in my notes here. What would make someone become dull of hearing? All right, we've got some teachers in here. We've got some students in here. Please tell me. Apathy. Okay, apathy. I'll focus in on that one. That's pretty good. Apathy kind of means that this doesn't interest me, right? Blah, blah, blah. Here we go in history again. Always in history class. I'm like, oh, I can't stand history. Math, X plus Y is Z. Oh, man, I couldn't care. Da, 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 da. And we can start to check out because it doesn't interest me. Ultimately, what happens when we become dull of hearing in that way, with apathy, we are being guided by self-interest. I'm living for what is good for me, what benefits me, and that's what begins to And so this right here, oh, I don't see it's very applicable. That's a catchphrase there. So then we tune it out. And we can't have that attitude to any part of God's word. We can laugh and joke about, that's a hard passage to understand, or the book of Leviticus, or the First Chronicles, whatever. And yes, Psalms is more devotional than the names of Chronicles, and that's fine. But we can begin to devalue certain portions and elevate others, in which God wants us to know all of it. He's given it all to us. And there's something that ought to intrigue us, what ought to desire us. So there's a problem if we're dull of hearing because it doesn't interest me. That's a problem. What would be some other things that might? Pride? That's good. I don't need to hear this. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal to me. And a lot of times, pride enters in whenever you hear something you don't want to do. and that is good. And often it is the pride that makes us the humble here. But the proud will not listen to any rebuke, will not allow God to speak to them to change their life. And that's a very much a root cause for why we do not hear it. It's good. We got two. Busyness. All right. You're doing other things, distracted. Yeah. The cares of this world begin to crop up in our hearts, and we say, these things are more important. And that kind of comes along with, this interests me. Hey, this over here, now the score on the ball game, that really interests me. What happens is we can begin to be so involved in the things of this world, and we begin to elevate our interest and our desire and our excitement, that we can cause these things to wane. The riches of this world can choke the seed that is sown, as Jesus said. These are good. Others. Temptation, right? It's good. You can begin to think about trying to think how to work that into not hearing necessarily, but it's certainly Satan is always going to be tempting us to not listen to God's word. That's good. One I thought, laziness. Oh, that's one I do have on here. This requires work, and it's easier not to listen. Kind of implied with the word dull, sluggish. Oh man, I gotta focus. And part of it is we kind of bemoan our culture, but through our media and our entertainment, and we just, it's kind of documented that our attention spans are dropped. And that's just a reality that we have in our culture that's focused on media. And there's an aspect of it requires a lot of work. And we can become to the place where we're just plain simply lazy enough. I just can't focus long enough to know what God wants. Another one that I thought of was, I hear this all the time. Don't you kind of, if you keep hearing the same thing over and over again, you start to tune it out. And you become kind of dull of hearing. Every day we have Bible class. Every week we go to church. Oh, I hear a sermon on the radio. Mom and Dad are always telling me Bible truths. And what happens is, because the brain, and this is an interesting aspect of the brain, if it keeps getting the same stimulus over and over again, it will begin to tune it out. That's just the natural way that our brain is. And I think there's an aspect, I'm not saying our brains are fighting against us in that sense, but our spiritual flesh wants to hear something that we're hearing over and over and over again. And then we begin to say, I've already heard that before. And begin to tune out the voice of God. And maybe another one might be a little same variation, but different idea. I've heard this a long time. More of the idea of not just hearing it successively, but I've heard this all of my life. There's nothing new. The spirit of the people of Athens, who are constantly going around looking for something new and fresh. There's an aspect, I remember studying the scriptures as a teenager, and man, I turned the next page, and I honestly did not know what was coming. I'm like, man, this is exciting. And now you after years and years of study, that, you know, there are some portions of Scripture that are still that way. But there are some portions you can come to and say, I know what's next, I know what's next, and I know what's next. And I know in my own heart it can become kind of like, well, I already know all this. And you don't hear the voice of God speaking through His Word. So the grave danger is for our young people, for us as parents, for us as church-going members, is to become dull of hearing. That God is speaking to us and we begin to tune it out. And you say, well, how do I know? How do I know if that's taking the place? Let's look at three different evidences that will help cut through. The Apostle Paul tells us whether we are dull of hearing or not. And the first evidence is, are you a teacher? Verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Do you know what someone who is dull of hearing cannot teach others? They weren't paying attention. And so God was speaking, God was working, and now they were off in la-la land, or their eyes had glazed over, and now they don't have anything to share. You know, students become teachers. I'm amazed at how much of that I teach. I'm thinking about, I can sit in the classroom and remember where I was taught this. So much of the things I'm teaching, I was taught. And what I'm teaching, others will come and take it and teach it. I haven't always done a good job of listening. We came around to our comprehensive exam. This is when they tested you at the very end of all. This wasn't just a test at the end of the year. This was a test at the end of 6 years to test you over everything you had learned. And I really did find out that in some classes, I hadn't paid very good attention. I had to go back and relearn some things and study. And it was a whole lot harder trying to teach. I got the notes and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember him talking about this. And quite frankly, you know, yeah, I learned some things the hard way. I had to go back and study some more. You know what? Do you listen so well that you could teach what you hear to others? Are you so intent? You're taking it in because you know that you've got to turn around and teach it to somebody else. If you can't, you're probably dull of hearing. You're not listening with the intensity that God wants you to listen. Because He tells us, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. There is this string of taking what I'm receiving, teaching it to someone else. You say, if I don't care, and I didn't pay attention, and I'm not zealous and saying, God, I've got to understand this. I've got to know your word. I've got to hear your voice. Oh, God, you've got to lead me. You've got to speak to me, oh, God. Because I've got to turn around and be a teacher for others. Question is, are you leading Bible studies? Or do you need someone to lead a Bible study for you? Are you ready to step up for your family and say, yeah, I know God's word. Let's go through this. Or do you need someone to come along and to teach you? The reality is that points us to a place of we haven't been listening the way we should. We've become dull of hearing. Evidence number two, are you skillful in the word? Verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is babe. So remember, on one side we've got this contrast, a baby, the ones who need teachers, the ones who need instruction, the ones who need milk, the ones who are dull of hearing in this passage on one side, and then you have the mature, those who can eat meat, those who are ready to be taught, those who are not dull of hearing. And so we kind of got this contrast going back and forth. It says that they were skillful in the word of righteousness. This has the idea of understanding the doctrines of God that produce righteousness in your life. I'm not just talking about being good at sword drill. That's a good thing to do. And it's good to know your Bible on those aspects. But I'm talking about something a little deeper. What was Paul talking about? No, maybe it was Paul. What was the author of Hebrews writing to them about? And then he had to stop. Melchizedek. Isn't that kind of an obscure doctrine? Not really. That is the basis on which Jesus Christ is the high priest at the right hand of God. And if he's not a priest, and he can't be a high priest, he can't make an atonement for your sin. If he can't make atonement for your sin, then you can't have fellowship, and you can't come boldly before the throne, and you have no surety of the forgiveness of your sins. And so, yes, Melchizedek is kind of woo, in the weeds in two Old Testament passages, Genesis and Psalm 110. And yet a key doctrine is being put forth, and he says, I'm afraid. I can't go any further in this doctrine because you're not ready to hear the doctrines of God. Oh, don't ever get to your heart to say, oh, we're just preaching on doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. It means, what does the Bible say about Jesus? What does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? What's the Bible say about the Word of God? What's the Bible say about a fool? What's it say about the wise man? What's it say about money? What's it say about raising my children? What's it say about how to treat my wife or my husband? What's the doctrine of the Word of God? I want to know what it says and what it means. And not every doctrine is always that clear in exactly how it points into my life. And Melchizedek, you're like, well, how does that work? Oh, yeah, it has a big implication. But the fact that Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek, we may not have dug down in that deep to realize how important it was. But it's there, and it's in God's Word. And there are things, there are passages of Scripture that we've got to dig down deep to understand what God is saying. Are you skillful in the Word of God? Can you read a passage and follow the argument or the flow of thought in a passage of Scripture? Are you reading through in terms of saying, I'm just looking for one little word or one little phrase that will relate to my life? Or are you trying to understand the passage, the column, the book? Can you see the big picture as you're reading along? Can you see the previous themes and connect them together? Do you understand what you read? Are you skillful in the Word? How about another way of describing skillfulness in the Word? Can you go to the right passage in the right circumstances? That's challenging. Do you know the Word of God so well that there's something that comes up and you say, oh, that passage over here, this is what that brother needs. Oh, I know it's over here. And sometimes I'm not good at those references, but I can find it. It's over here. It's on this page right here. This is what the Word of God says. Does the Scripture come to mind when you're making decisions? Do you know how to rebuke a sinning believer? Do you have the Word of God that you can bring along to someone and say, brother, this is what the Word of God says? Are we skillful in the Word? If not, what it means is we're dull of hearing. We're not coming to the Scripture with the intensity to hear the voice of God and from the teachers. And the third evidence here, do you discern between good and evil? We see this in verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This has the idea of your senses exercised. This means practice. Through practice, you train your senses to what is good and what is bad, what is evil. You know, I know this is true in music. There are certain levels of, it's interesting. It's fascinating to me to watch and say, oh, I wish I see it. And I don't know how to describe it. I'm trying to be the right way because I'm not see myself in. I love music. I love. I'm nowhere. I know where you can be on the piano, and I'm glad to do what I can do. But I'm pretty low on the scale of what's out there. And if you listen to piano people and things, there's things that can be done that I my mouth drops and things. But either there's someone who says I've never played anything in the piano, and says, oh man, and it's not an uncommon expression to be like, I just don't know how you can do it. Well, you know, your senses can be trained. And I don't know, it's amazing that your brain will begin to learn and your fingers, and it takes years and practice and practice and practice and practice and practice, and then you can do things you never thought you could do. And that's true in sport. You train yourself and you do something over and over again, and it's eye-hand coordination or whatever aspect, or you're shooting, and you just do something over and over again, and all of a sudden you get good at it. You can't really explain it. It just does what you want it to do. Because you've trained your senses and how to respond. This is true in righteousness. You must practice over and over making right choices based on God's word. The people who are strong meat, the people who are mature, the people who are able to be teachers, the people who are not dull of hearing, are those who understand this is right and this is wrong. But it's not just understanding this is right and this is wrong. But you've got to practice making the right choice when you know it's right. So you can know that you need to get out of bed to read your Bible. You know that that's the right thing. God spoke to you. But if you choose to sleep in, you still have not developed any Christian maturity. You haven't heard His voice. While you heard His voice, harden not your heart. He spoke, but your heart became dull and not responsive. So it's not just about the hearing of the ear. Hearing is a synonym for obedience. You can know that you need, if I say you need to get up to get out of bed, I shouldn't include this. If you know you need to go to bed at a decent time so you can start your day out well, but you choose to stay up late. So if you... That's just examples and things. The question ultimately comes down is, are you changing? Or are you dealing with the same sins over and over and over and over again? And the Bible does talk about besetting sin. But I tell you, I have to be honest, especially with the RU program, we make a commitment in terms of on the guy's side, what we're doing, saying, all right, this is what God, I know God's speaking to me about this. I hear the voice of God. And I want you to hold me accountable in my walk with the Lord. And quite honestly, if I'm not fully committed, nothing changes. And then I got to go up, show up next week and say, well, you know, I was kind of make it sound not so bad. Why I'm not. And when God gets a hold of my heart, change. I begin to respond. Are we changing people? Are we allowing God to move and to speak, to teach us, to correct us, to guide us? And we're responding to Him. Is someone always having to tell you what's right and wrong? Or are you listening to God's voice and hearing Him speak to you and changing your life based on His convictions, His character? If we're not, it's just a sign that we're a babe. That we need milk because we've become dull of hearing. Now, there are some who are babes because they just trusted Christ. But He's talking about this that you should have. It was time for you to step up and lead the Bible study. It was time for you to explain. It was time for you to minister. And you weren't ready. The question is, we have a sober and serious task. Young people, those who went to camp, you heard the voice of God. God spoke to you and you responded. How'd you do this last week? Did you stay faithful in the Word? Did you hear His voice? Did you allow Him to change you and to correct you? Every day it ought to be our goal to say, oh God, I want to put aside time so not just only I can read, but today, while I hear His voice, I'm not going to harden my heart, but I'm going to submit myself. and I'm going to be changed, and I'm going to be guided, and I'm going to take what He's given to me, and I'm going to give to others. May God help us to live the life that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for this passage of Scripture, for this admonition. Lord, help us to exhort one another daily, because we can grow dull of hearing. We can be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. And Lord, we need each other. We need Your voice to seem clear in our hearts. Father, we need older Christians to teach the young Samuels of our day how to hear the voice of God and how to respond.